Hey, Brandon, what are we talking about today?
All right, welcome to another episode of The Sound of Synergy. All right, we have a good setup for today. It's a little bit more than what we usually have, because typically it's either just me or me and another person. But today there's three. And I don't know, three has always been a really cool number for me. That's what I attuned this whole synergy thing is about. I mean, mental, physical, emotional, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's just so a whole mess of slew of things that are part of a three or a trinity. Heck, if you follow stories, you know, three little pigs, you know. So anything with three has always been something cool for me. But like I said, today is a special episode because I have two of my closest friends with me on today's episode. I have a reoccurring guest. I have Eric Pombipot or Ekeren Pombipot, Masters Extraordinaire. And then I also have Dan Yoon, soccer player extraordinaire. No, just a real cool guy extraordinaire. Say what's up to everybody, guys.
Hey, you guys. I'm Daniel. I've been here once before. Nice to see you guys again.
Hey, it's Ekeren. It's good to be back on the podcast. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, man. How are you guys doing since the last time I saw you guys?
Good, good.
Yeah, pretty good. Just still working on the fitness plan that you gave me.
Yeah, how's that going?
It's going good. I haven't been as disciplined on it because of just been busy with applications, but
yeah,
I want to go back on it.
Okay, cool. I mean, as long as, like, again, everything is all about balance and everything. If your whole life is dedicated towards fitness, then maybe that's what your career choice should have been, right? Maybe a fitness model or something like that. But over here, we're all about balance. How about you? How are you doing, Dan?
I've been doing great. In terms of fitness, I've been on top of the regimen you gave me. And in terms of the eating aspect, here and there, I've been cheating. I mean, the holidays just passed as well.
Of course, you know, holidays make it hard. But, you know, maybe we might talk about that on a future episode or maybe a five-minute fitness episode, because that is something, another thing to tackle.
Yeah.
But anyways, today's topic, we're going to be talking about the effect of your environment. And again, I have Eric. Maybe he can talk a little bit more on the psychological side, maybe the behavioral side, cognitive behavioral side, you know, if I'm going to use your words.
Sure.
And then we're going to take Dan and his perspective on what he thinks about that. I think normally in today's world, I mean, it's pretty out there that we know that environment does play, you know, a factor in how we go about our lives and what we do. But sometimes we kind of forget that, especially in the fitness realm. And I just want to talk a little bit about the little subtleties that the environment can play on our psyche, on our emotions, and therefore how we act, basically our physical act of doing stuff. So I'm going to direct it to both of you guys. How has environment kind of played a role in how you guys have gone through your fitness journey?
You want to go first, Eric?
Sure. So I think for me, I grew up in an environment where fitness and eating healthy weren't a priority, or we didn't really know much about it. So my parents didn't really like emphasize like, oh, you should eat this healthy food or like do these exercises. But I think as we grew up and as you got more into fitness, you started like telling me more about like fitness. And I think that's how I became more involved in health and fitness.
Yeah, but either way, your parents make some good food.
Yeah,
some good Thai food. Thai food is good. Pad to you, pad Thai. What is the tiger something?
Oh, what is it that? Called? The crouching tiger?
Crying tiger?
The crying
tiger. It had to do something with the tiger, but that stuff is pretty good.
Yeah,
but
Thai food is good.
But I know we kind of talked a little bit on our last podcast, Dan, about how you were into sports, because it started at a young age, right?
Yeah.
Because of the family, the whole sports things,
yeah.
Right? But how has the environment brought you up in fitness?
In terms of Eric, it's very similar in terms of the family background, where eating healthy, I guess, was never like a big issue. My mom cooked like really good food, but it was never like the healthiest choices. It wasn't until like I got into soccer, that's where I was more conscious about what I was eating because of my coach. He was definitely adamant about me eating healthy and no fast food, no soda, nothing like that. Growing up, actually, it helped getting to know you, because even when I was playing soccer, it was never an ambition for me to work out or get to know different kinds of exercises. I was always just told what to do and I did it. It wasn't until I came across like you. You always taught me like the right forms of what to do. So if it wasn't really for you, it would have been a lot harder for me to get to know the different exercises or just getting to know health or fitness and just a,
nice.
More in-depth aspect.
Well, cool, man. It seems pretty cool that I could feel like a part of your guys' journey in fitness. That's pretty awesome. But I know for me, I know growing up, my dad, played football in high school, did basketball in high school, always. I remember I was like 5 or 6 and he'd be coming from home from the gym and asking me to open jars because, he couldn't open it because his arms were all sore from the day before. And so fitness has always been a part of my life. And it's crazy because I just like you, Dan, I played basketball and it was more geared towards sports, but I didn't think that fitness would be such a big part of my life now. But knowing who I am and being introspective, there was a lot of like key things that I learned from fitness. And so I think I just always wanted to keep it around me because it kept compounding. I kept doing, being in high school, going to college, being part of the kinesiology major, then obviously now going to physical therapy, surrounded by other people that care about health and fitness and your physicality. But so it sounds like from all three of us that there is a clear distinction or a clear positive way that your environment can play on your journey through fitness. Yeah. But there also is that whole negative aspect or it doesn't have to be totally negative, but the environment can influence it, right? I mean, with you, Eric, you're talking about even beginning with your parents, right?
Sure. Yeah, with my parents, just because that's the environment that I was raised in, we didn't really have like a lot of information about eating healthy or exercising. And so just because of that lack of knowledge, we never did those things. And so...
So we're kind of bringing it down to like maybe lack of education.
Sure.
I mean, because like, I mean, there were immigrants, right, coming in. So of course, if we're going to go back, I don't know how many years ago was that?
Maybe like 20, 30 years ago?
Yeah, so 20, 30 years ago. Even then, the education on terms of health has progressed immensely, right? Especially how we disseminate that information. That has changed. But then also the mindsets of back then to now have changed.
Sure.
So I could see that as being, a barrier, so to speak, right?
Yeah, definitely. So I think because of that, it was really difficult for me to, like, get into fitness and health because I always thought, like, oh, man, it's just food. It's just exercising. Like, I'll be fine. Look at all these other people who are, like, not exercising and, like, not eating healthy food. They look fine. I'll be just like them.
Yeah, yeah.
But then as I started, like, thinking about it and being exposed to, like, more of, like, the health realm and fitness realm, I started realizing that through you that a lot of it was preventative and, like, having to deal with, like, preventing other diseases from occurring.
Okay. Yeah, well, I did have this idea of, I think we all experience this where the people who we hang out with, especially now that we're older, I mean, yeah, you're talking about when we're kids, right? Your parents definitely have a direct influence on you. Obviously, you can always grow out of it and learn on your own and then decide for yourself. But for the most part, your parents really kind of guide your, I guess, understanding of fitness and health, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you just said that yourself, Dan, with your parents, very similar to Eric's parents in terms of being immigrants and coming here and all that stuff. But luckily, you had a soccer coach to kind of lead you towards the right direction, so to speak. But if we were going to take the idea of other people influence you once you're old enough to kind of make your own personal choices or your own ideas of how you want to live your life, I think for me, I've experienced that sometimes the people who you hang out with subtly can bring you down, so to speak. And sometimes maybe we are in denial. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, especially in college, like older you get, the things you do aren't so good in terms of, like, if you're talking about drinking.
Oh, drinking's the biggest one, right? I mean, like, I think once we hit 21 or, even not legally, some people a little younger, they drink and it's such a social thing.
Yeah.
But that can also cause like a bunch of bad habits and force you down the wrong way, even if you don't want to be going down that road, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
like people would always like egg you on, like, why aren't you drinking? Just, you know, like,
oh, yeah,
you're
could talk about that. I wanted to I forgot to ask. Mm. I know for the longest time you definitely didn't drink at all.
At all. It wasn't until I got to college my freshman year. I was so against it. I thought, like, coming from like a strong Christian household, like, I thought drinking was definitely like a sin, you know, it was like a no-no, because I never had alcohol in my household. Like, my grandma was very strict on that. So I never saw my dad or mom or nobody drink in my household. So it was never like around me until I got to college. And then I see a lot of my friends doing it. And I feel like you just think it's acceptable at that point, you know, and you just, why not go? You know, I just wanted to try it, just see what it was
like. Yeah, because you want to be a part of the group. Exactly. You want to be part of the community. Exactly. You want to be part of a clique or a gang, whatever, however term you want to use it. And it makes sense. I mean, you want to, we as human beings, I mean, I don't think, I mean, you don't have to be an expert psychologist to know that that's just part of our psyche. We want to belong to something.
Yeah.
And so for you belonging to something, it does matter your environment. Mm-hmm. Like they say, birds of a feather flock together. So if you're not part of that feather of that flock, if you're not drinking, so to speak, then you're not going to be a part of that flock.
Yeah.
And I guess that's an extreme form, you know, with drinking. But I think there's a lot of things that happen on for daily people, for everyday people, that can hinder them, especially with their environment, because who we hang out with really, really makes a difference. Have you guys experienced any of that?
I think that could apply for also like just in health and fitness. So even for like food and exercising, if you go to a restaurant that may not be the healthiest, people will be like, they'll invite you and want you to like eat food that's probably not the best for you. Oh, and it's kind of hard that if you're just starting out like with health, because you're just thinking, man, that looks really good, but at the same time, you know, it's probably not the best for you. And sometimes it's easier to succumb to like your group
peer pressure. I mean, it's peer pressure. That's essentially what we're talking about. I mean, you guys all experience, we all come from an Asian background, and this is not to be racist or anything, but it's just part of the culture. Like, I'm Filipino, right? I mean, you come to my house, my mom's like, you better eat something.
You have to eat, or
right? I go to a Filipino party. They're like, you better eat something and take it. And it's like, not that you have to, but it's just because food is what connects us.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, every time I go to your house, your mom would be making something. Yeah. You know, even with your mom, same thing. There is some form of fried rice or something there for you. And like you said, either it's either peer pressure or maybe even in that case, etiquette or politeness.
Yeah.
Like if you don't accept food, that's almost like a slap in the face, right? Or like, oh, you don't want my food. What is all that? So there's a whole slew of barriers that come with living, I guess, everyday life.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, is there ways to combat that? I know Eric just brought up that if you are starting off, man, that can put a setback on your journey.
Yeah.
Right?
Even like just something simple as living with your significant other or something. I know prior to my fitness journey, my girlfriend was always, you know, keen on eating healthy and exercising, but I wasn't. And I always brought her down because, like, it's like, oh, let's go eat out. And it would never be like the healthiest things. So it's like, I for firsthand, I know I can be someone that's actually like a negative factor into someone's life, just like something simple as just like living together. So it's just easier. And
so it wasn't the other way around, though. Yeah. So she, because she was eating healthy, she wasn't able to get you out of that.
Exactly.
Because maybe perhaps you were on like.
Yeah, because I still wasn't ready to, you know, start my journey. So
so what would help expedite that, right? Because ultimately, that's what we're trying to figure out. Yeah. What helps people to get out of that rut? Because I'm a big believer in that, too. I'm a big believer that, like, you have to be in that right time or that right moment. Or in your case, maybe you can explain this, Eric. Like, psychologically, we know that, you know, certain ages, our brains are a little bit more mature. And maybe at that point, we can make better decisions. But we can't solely just rely on that, or, you know, make that an excuse, so to speak. I mean, we want people to make smarter, better, healthier choices for themselves as early as possible.
Right. I think some things that I didn't even consider when I was starting to eat healthy was that most places, even if they're unhealthy, also have healthy options.
Right.
That's true.
But a caveat to that, a lot of times they're more expensive. But we'll talk about it. Go ahead. See what you're going to say. See what you're going to say.
But I think just knowing that kind of helps, because I think before I would just go in thinking, I just have to eat that because that's all they have and that's all that that's what they're known for. So of course I'm going to go eat that.
Yeah.
But knowing that there's other option kind of makes it easier, especially if you're starting out.
I mean, it's true. I mean, you go to, let's say, any one of those sit-down restaurants, whether it be Chili's, Applebee's, or what are the other ones? Like Olive Garden, all this other stuff. But either way, like you said, there's always an option now, right, to get the healthier things. And one thing that I took from it is that the more and more that we start to order these types of dishes, the more and more it forces these industries to make healthier stuff. Mm-hmm. So we like to blame it on them, right? Like, oh, they don't have these healthier choices. But if we decide to not eat their stuff and eat the healthier versions, they are forced to make healthier things. So, and in fact, the responsibility falls back on us, right?
Sure. We definitely drive the market.
Yeah, so I think that's really empowering. I mean, I feel like we should look at that as like empowerment, as something that, wow, we can make that change. But like I said, I know maybe getting the healthier versions are always a little bit more expensive, or they're smaller portions.
Yeah.
And because we've been so driven by I mean, if anyone's seen Super Size Me, that's a really great documentary. I mean, I know it's old, but it's really great.
Still a good
it's
one.
So yeah, pertinent today. Like, everything's about making things bigger and more, when in fact it's like a normal serving size is like, you know, it's super small and it's supposed to satiate you. But now it's like, well, we want all this food, and it's crazy.
Yeah. Do you guys think social class also plays part?
Oh,
because right now we're talking about healthier food is actually more expensive.
That's true. I mean, yeah, I mean, that plays into it, right? I mean, socioeconomics play a big role. Mm-hmm. I mean, not to generalize or judge, but let's say the people on the lower socioeconomic class system are going to be surrounded by other low class socioeconomic people, which then they can't afford better food or healthier food, and they're forced almost to buy cheaper food. I mean, you can go to McDonald's, any one of these places, and get food for $5-$10 and feed a family of five.
Yeah, Burger King, like, they have a 10-piece chicken nugget meal for like $1.49 now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, why not choose that to fill me up as opposed to something else?
Yeah, I mean, that's really big. I mean, that environment where you are, especially that it's all around you.
Yeah.
That's
right. And unfortunately, they most likely also aren't as educated in health and fitness.
That's true. Yeah.
And so they don't realize that there could be healthy options that are affordable. But since nobody's telling them, or they're not receiving this information, they're just going to go about with McDonald's and Burger King because that's cheap.
That's hard. That's so hard because, of course, again, it all goes back to environment. They're surrounded by the same type of people, and that's what drives their thinking processes. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what we're kind of talking about. I mean, I think in a way some of us may not have it to that extreme, but sometimes we may be around people that may not understand it to its fullest, or maybe driving us to make decisions like that. Like, let's go out every night, or let's go out every weekend to either drink or eat unhealthy, versus like maybe other people that can provide us with more healthier, positive energy, so to speak. Right? I mean, let's meal prep, or let's go shopping together.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, I'll be honest. I love grocery shopping. I just like, you guys should come with me. I like it. It's just fun for me. I make it a game, but it's fun for me.
We should do that.
But you know, I always look at that that way too, because I think a lot of times too we like to think that people have to be right next to us physically for them to make an impact on us. But if you're somebody that needs to be surrounded, or you're at a point where you are listening to what we're talking about and want to surround yourself with healthier, positive things, there are so many other ways that you can go about it without having somebody right next to you. And that things like
this podcast.
Thanks. Yes. A podcast. There's Instagram. There's YouTube. There's audiobooks. There's blogs.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you got to be careful with some of those things, but I think they offer all of the same stuff if you look at it in that way.
Yeah. Definitely usually a general consensus among most of it.
Yeah, I mean, our environment is so important. So like, maybe you're in a situation where you can't find somebody who's like that. But if you can inundate your audio or your senses or visually with good positive stimuli, that will help propel you. It's like that whole analogy of having the whole, your cup full of water. And if you're constantly pouring dirty water, basically meaning like bad information or negative energy or people that are small-minded or not helping you in your fitness journey, that's just going to fill your cup of water with dirty water. Mm-hmm. But fill your cup with clean water, right? Fill it with good audiobooks, podcasts, reading. Yeah. I mean, reading is an awesome thing. And by the way, an easy way to do that, read 5 pages in the morning, 5 pages at night. That's 10 pages a day, which translates to 70 pages a week. I mean, you could do the math. It's super simple. 5 pages takes, what, 2-3 minutes of your time. And it starts your day off in a positive direction. Sure. You know, so by doing all of that, it cleans through your water, so to speak. And you have a clean glass of water. And that's your brain. Yeah.
And especially if you're, like, starting out with health and fitness, I think listening to, like, YouTube videos or podcasts or reading books, it's like a constant reminder of why you should be going into health and fitness and eating healthier and exercising, or else it would be easy to like make excuses because you're not hearing that information as often.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah, definitely more. Yeah, nowadays it's more accessible to even just, I mean, the easiest place really is just going online and really just doing your own research on what you're doing. Like Eric said, just a constant reminder is always nice if you don't have that certain somebody to remind you or kind of push you forward daily. Like just like a simple podcast you're subscribed to, you're probably getting, you know, podcast daily, and that it's like just a simple reminder just to remind you why you're doing it, because you can always, you know, get off track here and there, but just having something like that to kind of remind you why you're doing this is definitely helpful.
Well, I was thinking about this because I was thinking, like, I used to have this excuse because I remember you got me into listening to audiobooks and podcasting pretty much. And I used to tell myself this, it's like, oh, I don't have the time, mm-hmm. or, you know, like there's too many things happening. Like I really don't have the time, but like, mm-hmm. like I just explained with reading a book, literally 5 pages a day is that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Or one thing that I think that's worked for me is, you know, we live in Southern California, and if you live in Southern California, especially in LA, there's traffic. It doesn't matter. You can go 5 miles and you'll be in traffic for like 35 minutes. And it's like insane. And that used to just be a waste of time, or you're listening to music, which is great. You know, music gets you pumped up. It's nice from time to time. But overall, sometimes it just gets boring and you're not stimulating positive things either mentally or even emotionally. Yeah. And so I started listening to either YouTube channels or audio books that will help me. Like I listen to Joel Osteen and Darren Hardy, things that are not even fitness related, but they're so positive that I would always relate it to fitness, and it helped me in my journey. Mm. I think going through traffic is a perfect time to utilize your time to listen to these things.
That's definitely a really good idea.
You guys have any other examples of things that you can do small that may help you surround yourself with positivity?
Yeah, I definitely do what you do. So I listen to podcasts whenever I get in the car, just because I love learning. And so that's just an easy way to just get more information in a way that I could do two things at once.
Yeah, that's a good time to actually use your time wisely. But unfortunately for me, I live in Reno, and there's no traffic whatsoever. However, I do work in the hospital, and it's not busy all the time. So on my downtime, I actually just listen to the podcast, or I even go on YouTube on my time off and just kind of just listen to an episode here or there. It just really helps.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so many good people out there, and it doesn't have to be related to fitness. I mean, the one thing that I really like about successful people or people that promote positivity, it doesn't matter in what realm it is, you can always relate it to whatever you're passionate about or whatever you're into. And just so happens in my case, it's fitness, and that's the vessel that I use. But I've taken things, like I said, from Joel Osteen, who's definitely not in the fitness realm, but he's into the religion realm, or Darren Hardy, he's into business. Or for you YouTubers, another great person that I listen to and hopefully get the chance to read his book, Elliot Hulse. He was definitely a really big guy on YouTube Strength Camp promoting fitness. But then he also has this different way of looking at, I guess, how we grow. He always says, become the strongest version of yourself, which I think is awesome. Mm-hmm. Those are a few that I listen to that helped me. Well, what about you, Eric?
Man, there's so many podcasts I listen to. I think I have like 7 on my podcast right
now. Well, yeah, man. Some people may want to listen to them.
Sure. So I think one that I really like that's probably more applicable to most people is Entree Leadership. So it's a podcast on being an entrepreneur and a leadership, even though some of us may not be in the realm of business or entrepreneurship, there's definitely great leadership skills to gain from listening to that podcast that could be applied in almost any realm.
Yeah. Business, tenets of business or fitness or relationships, they all have similar tenets. They're just spoken in a different language, so to speak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you're willing to listen to that and apply that to or let your guard down, they can be so helpful. Like you said, business aspects are really, really great. What anything that comes to mind that has helped you in your...
Well, for me, I'm pretty new to this podcasting thing. So far, the only person I do is listen to is Sound of Synergy. But I also just listen to sports stuff, but that's not really applicable. But when I am at the hospital, though, I do tend to just research, like, diseases I've never even heard of these patients have. And it just really, I just want to use my time wisely, you know, just whatever it is, like, just kind of just look up on things I don't know, just kind of stimulate my brain and just get to know things better. And like, just being in that environment, you really see like what people go through. And that's really opened my eyes on why I want to be healthier as well. Just because you see young people come in with diseases that could be prevented just by, you know, stable dieting.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of things that eating healthy or putting fitness in your lifestyle that can help so much. I know I'll have Janine come back in, doctor to you, to come in and speak on how she's seen in her patients of just like a simple change of diet and exercise has made drastic changes. I mean, I don't want to beat a dead horse over the head. I mean, people do know that, but to be constantly reminded on a different platform is where it's at. Because sometimes what I've learned for myself is one person can tell me something 100 times and I won't listen, but it may take somebody else's voice for me to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not bad. I mean, yeah, some people get all offended by it. Like, oh, how come they didn't listen to me? But if you think about the big picture, I realize that if you surround yourself with positivity, one form or another, it's going to break through. It's going to get to you. And that's ultimately the point. But if you perhaps shelter yourself and don't allow yourself to have the opportunity for more positivity to be in your life, whether it's through audiobook or who you surround yourself with or podcasts, then you're not allowing yourself the opportunity to get those epiphanies or positivities in your life.
Yeah, definitely. Just keeping an open mind and always wanting to learn and improve definitely goes a long way.
It really does, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. I hope, for me anyways, that I continue to have the opportunity to be surrounded by people like yourselves. You know, I've been surrounded by you guys for 16 years. And of course, we haven't all been perfect or positive all the time. But I mean, I can't speak for you guys. But for me, it's been because of having friends like you. And for the most part, you guys have been positive in your own way that it's helped me. And that's where, like, I think that's what true friends really are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks.
It's always good to see, especially like you two, in terms of academics, just like seeing where you guys started from and where you guys are now. It's just so inspiring. Oh, I'm just so proud of you guys, man. Like Mr. Masters here and future Dr. PT right here. Just be surrounded with like, you know, just the positive people and just what you guys are going through. I mean, it's like, you guys, for me, what I realized personally, it's like you guys always know there's more. You can always learn something every day. You know, you guys aren't just like, you guys aren't content with just like being at like a stagnant area. You guys like to continue moving forward. And that's always like helped me try to, I want to move up with you guys as well, you know? So just being surrounded by you guys for 16 years always like motivated me as well. And I just want to be a better version of myself.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
It's all getting really mushy in here, guys. I don't know if the people want to listen to that. But, I mean, to be back on track, so to speak, and not none of this mushy stuff, even though it's pretty good, man. See, but to be honest, like, that's good stuff to hear. And I think that's what you want to be surrounded by. I don't think you need to have, a master's degree, a doctorate degree, a PhD, a bachelor's, or $1 million to be positive. It's just like who you are and having positive outlooks on things really do help.
Yeah.
And maybe many of you may have a friend that may not be positive. And I know it's hard. I know me personally, I used to have a friend that I would consider a really good friend. And it took me 4 or 5 years to realize that I don't want to say adding, because that's really selfish. Not adding things to my life. He was bringing me down. Mm-hmm. And it took me 5 years. And even though it took me 5 years to really realize that, I still realized it. And I had to cut ties, so to speak. And so maybe some of you guys may have experienced that. And I know it's hard, but at the same time too, you want to do what's best for you.
Definitely. Especially if like your life is on the line. Like if you need to eat healthy because you have diabetes or some other really risky health disorder that you really need to turn your life around, then I think you really have to look out for yourself and kind of distance yourself from friends who are not helping you.
Have you guys experienced that, whether it be friends or any other, I guess, quote unquote, negative surroundings?
I think in college, I guess I could consider her. It was an ex-girlfriend of mine. Okay. You know her.
Yeah, we should not be named.
Anonymous. Yeah, but she was very detrimental in my life. That was like when that was my last year of soccer, and I needed to actually prove myself to even like go anywhere further with soccer. But I invested a lot of my time with her, and eventually, things didn't work out on my way, but she was a very condescending person. She was never positive about anything, and so it's just like it always just brought me down, and I just thought like I was a bad person because of her opinion about me. And it's scary how one person can, you know, affect you so strongly.
Yeah, well, a girlfriend or ex-girlfriend, yeah. Someone who's that close to you obviously is gonna affect so much,
yeah,
of
your self-esteem,
the decisions that you make.
I was in a very bad spot at that time in my life, so I'm glad it's over. But yeah,
it's hard.
That's my
right?
personal experience with being surrounded with someone who's very negative.
What about you, Eric?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I guess I just still see it a lot. Like even just like going out to go eat food, it's still really hard to like choose healthier options sometimes.
What makes it hard?
I think it's just because like I see other people eating food that looks really good. It sounds amazing. I can just smell it, and I just want to eat it because just everything about it is appealing.
Yeah.
So
well, okay. So I, you know what? That's funny that you say that, because I understand that for sure. And for the longest time, I would feel that way too. Like half the time I'll be sitting there trying to decide, and it's like, well, I'm just going to choose a thing because everyone else is because you want to be part of the crowd. Mm-hmm. But what I really realized is that if you choose not to do that, I guess follow the status quo per se, mm-hmm. and you choose the healthier version for yourself, whether that be a salad or just like eating less or whatever it is,
okay.
I've learned that the people around you will notice that. And if anything, I mean, some people may like make fun of you and all that stuff, but whatever. If you can get past that, a lot of people will admire you and want to follow your lead. And that's so empowering, because not only are you hopefully getting them to make healthier decisions, but you are being true to yourself and things that are helping yourself versus being quote unquote a follower versus being a leader. And that's ultimately, I think, something that I've used that's helped me so much, mm-hmm. that like when I go out in a group, and of course I falter countless times, but on a more consistent basis, I choose to try to be a little bit more healthy, and people do notice. And some people may snicker or talk behind your back, but those are people you shouldn't have in your life anyways.
That's true.
But the real people that support you will notice and pat you on the back and hopefully put you in the right direction. And that's where like a different perspective will definitely help you make choices like that.
Yeah. I think when you finally become comfortable with where your journey's heading and you're honest with yourself, I think that's where the whole turnaround can happen.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that on the last
podcast. Yeah, so that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of like a good example. So you can kind of like gauge who your real friends might be, because I think some of your true friends will support you for anything that's a positive like development in your life.
Mm. Yeah.
So if you're trying to get healthy and they're judging you, maybe those aren't like your true friends or great friends to be around. I think true good friends will support you.
Yeah.
And I think if let's say you don't have that, I think that's what's great to be in a, to find a community that, that does that for you. I know on my last podcast, I don't know if you guys heard it. I forgot when I did it, but I did it with my friend Matt, and we talked about community-based fitness. And mm-hmm. one of the positives is that like you're surrounded by people that want to help you up or want you to be a part of their community. And yeah. that's like a good positive about that. So like, if you aren't getting that from friends or family, then you can seek out. There's so many other avenues. That's like the beauty of this. And yeah. that's why I like the differences, so many differences in fitness, whether it's yoga, Pilates, CrossFit, traditional bodyweight gyms or home gyms, whatever, the 50-year-old moms walking down the street, whatever group it is, they build communities that you can be a part of. And that's all essentially what we want to be a part of. We want to be a part of something.
Yeah, definitely. And there's also like other groups that are not in fitness, but do fitness related activities.
That's true too. That's true too. I think a lot of actually really good, from what I've seen from like one of my friends, her company, it has nothing to do with fitness, but they have fitness people come in to work them out 2 or 3 times a week. And I was like, dude, that's an awesome job. And she's in like graphic design and stuff like that. And
oh, wow. That's a completely different.
Yeah. I think it's dope.
Yeah. Though. That's pretty cool.
But see, like, I think just finding the right environment.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I just want to end it on this note. What if you can sum up again, like I like to have people give their last 2 or 3 cents in on what is helpful, especially with knowing that the environment really can dictate how you go about your fitness journey.
Yeah. I just want you guys to know, it may not be apparent in day-to-day basis, but your surroundings or your group of friends can really dictate how you view or even choose your lifestyles, and such as eating habits or whatever your social habits. Just to remember, just always keep in mind that you come first, and if these people are bringing you down, you know, it doesn't matter how long you've known these people, even what Brandon said with his friend. I mean, it may be healthier just to cut them out in your life. You got to always remember you got to put yourself first and have positive people in your life.
Yeah, and there's definitely other ways of putting positive things in your life. So like we said earlier, you can like listen to podcasts, uh-huh. let's watch YouTube videos, read books. So those are things that are constant reminders of like to do more positive things like eating healthier and exercising.
Yeah.
Well said, guys. Well, that's what we have for you guys today. I definitely like having you guys on. I mean, you need to come back from Reno
until
you can be
I'm
here
trying.
And we can get this going a little bit more. It's part of the, you know, part of having different perspectives, and that's what it's all about. So yeah, if you guys have any questions, comments, or concerns, email me at thesoundofsynergypodcast@gmail.com and I'll get back to you. And that till then, you guys, you know, always find your strength and synergy. Peace.
Thanks for having us.